Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board today as, once again, we face the issues. May I tell you today that we're going to be dealing with a very important subject. The subject is in question form. Is the end near? Is the end near? We're talking about, biblically, theologically speaking, the end of time. Is it near? What are some of the signs? What do we understand, based on the authority of Scripture, should take place? But ladies and gentlemen, before we get into the monologue, the dialogue and discussion, let me remind you also that you can join in this discussion today. A very important, imperative subject for every Christian. We need to understand what the Scripture says prophetically and where we're going and how we're recognizing it in the world in which we're living. You can dial 831-0917, 831-0917, anytime during the course of this broadcast. Jump in the dialogue and discussion with us. That telephone call gets your message or your voice right through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question or comment. We're delighted to do so today. As we face the issues, ladies and gentlemen, we do so based on the authority of Scripture, based on the Word of God. What does the Word of God say in context? Let me just drop in a little thought. As I listen to other radio preachers and other broadcast and theological dialogue, discussion, I hear most of the time they're preaching and teaching a message with a verse here and a verse there and a verse there, pulling it completely out of context. We must ask the question, why does God give us the Scripture, verse by verse, word for word, chapter by chapter, book by book? What is it for? It's because there's a thread being sown throughout the Scripture, and it's God's unique, progressive revelation of Himself to man. And if we take Scripture out of context, we can make the Scripture say anything we want it to say. And that's a real bother to me in relationship to theological doctrinal preaching today. But that's another issue for another day. But as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. The Scripture says, with Jesus speaking to His disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am truth. I am truth." And then in John 17:17, Jesus clearly, definitively tells us what truth is. He says, "Thy word is truth." It's the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. We are to communicate truth to others. The purpose of this broadcast is to speak truth to you, our listeners, based on the authority of Scripture, not some denominational dogma with its rites, rituals, rules, and regulations, not based on some political ideological bent that you find in the socialist, Marxist, democratic system today, but based on the Word of God. In fact, Zechariah 8:6 says that we're to speak every man truth to his neighbor. And that's what God calls upon us to do, is to speak truth. But truth is something that is not sought after today. Truth is something that is rejected today. For the most part, truth is absolutely despised. In fact, it was George Orwell many years ago that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." So, ladies and gentlemen, we need to speak the truth in love. We need to be direct with what the Scripture says. Need not be ashamed of it, embarrassed by it, but confronting the world with the truth of the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries all of the hurricane preparedness and hurricane cleanup equipment, including all of the generators, Honda generators, with a full knowledgeable staff of giving you information, answering your questions about all of the use of those equipments. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. You can identify it very clearly, even at a long distance. Look up and see that flagpole, 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flooring 24/7. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find Tools for Time and a ready, willing, and able staff to greet you and answer your questions. Ladies and gentlemen, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about, it's an extensive monologue to get to the biblical text of where we want to go and what we're wanting to say. We're ultimately going to get to the text in Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through 14. If you're at home where you can open your Bible, if you're at your office where you can open your Bible, if you're where you can open your Bible without trying to do so and drive, I don't recommend that. But I would recommend that if you have your Bible available at a point in time in this broadcast, open it. We'd love to see you follow this broadcast with your scripture today, to see with your own eyes and hear with your own ears what God is doing. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a very serious time. We live in days and times that we've never experienced before in the world that we're living in today. I say that based on what you can see on a global basis that is taking place. But I must admit, ladies and gentlemen, listen, let me tuck this in at this point. I must admit that I watched just a few minutes of the socialist, Marxist, Democratic presidential wannabes on the television last evening. I sat in amazement as each of the 12 Marxists attempted to outdo the other with their socialist agenda and their approach to destroying America. Would you ever in your lifetime have thought that there would be an in-your-face, out-of-the-closet sodomite that would be in the race for president? And a proud, declared, progressive, Marxist, socialist, communist that would declare that he is a socialist, Marxist, and his goal is for America. In fact, it is Bernie Sanders, ladies and gentlemen, that said that his plan would be to tax the top 400 rich people, wealthy people in America, by 97.5% tax. 97.5%. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. Let me just tuck this in at this point. If you tax those in the mega-million-dollar tax bracket at 100% of their income, that is, take confiscate all of their income, you would still not be able to balance the budget and or pay for the things that Bernie Sanders and the other socialist Marxist Democrats are planning on if any one of them were to go into the office of President of the United States of America. If that could happen, if that would happen, ladies and gentlemen, I can just simply say this. We could declare America gone. Goodbye. It's on a banana peel on the high side of the mountain with skids on the other foot, even at this point today. But this simply indicates, ladies and gentlemen, the immoral, ungodly, unethical, rapidly decline of our society in America. Ladies and gentlemen, we must not become afraid. We must not be worried. We must not be frightened. We must recognize and be reassured that God is still sovereign, that God is still on the throne, that God is still in control. I believe that God is going to bring judgment upon a Christ-rejecting, God-hating, Bible-denying, Jesus-rejecting society, not only in America, but around the globe. Ladies and gentlemen, all that we're seeing today is, and that which is taking place in the Middle East, is that which we need to understand and recognize that it's God's doing. It is God in His sovereign hand moving to bring about and bring to fruition every jot and every tittle, every word on every page of what He has said in the prophetic text in the Word of God. God is not impotent. God is not dead. God is not on a vacation. He's not asleep. He is not in some way incapable of doing what His Word says that He's going to do. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say to you at this point, I'm holding in my hands a book entitled The Panorama of Prophecy, From the Rapture of the Church to the Rule of Christ. I had the privilege of publishing this book, writing it, researching it, publishing it a number of years ago. It is covering everything in the scripture in the realm of prophetic text for the rapture of the church, the return of Christ, and the rule and reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's six chapters. It retails for about $17. It's over 150 pages. I want to make this book available to you today, free of charge. We'll even pay the shipping for you. For everyone that calls in the broadcast today, please, 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 don't need anything but your name and address so that we can send this to you. Leave your name and address with the screen caller as you call in. Leave it with Roger, and he will take your name and address, and he will send that to me that we can have these books shipped to you. It is something I believe that is valuable in the hands of every Christian. I had the wonderful privilege of researching it, thousands of hours of research in it. It is a book that is, without any equivocation, none like it in the marketplace today. It is a book that every Christian needs to have. It is based on not philosophy, not ideology, not a personal bent, but it's based on research of word for word of the Scripture. You'll find in this book everything that I say in relationship to explaining it comes right from the Word of God. It is the exegetical, expository analysis of God's Word on the prophetic text, eschatological truth in the Word of God. That title of that book, be sure to mention that, is The Panorama of Prophecy. Be delighted to send that to you. And when we send that to you, we'll send information about the ministry here. And if you'd like to then follow up and send something as a contribution, the underwriting of this broadcast, that would be appreciated, and we would be very thankful for it. Ladies and gentlemen, we see many of the socialist, Marxist Democrats today, as well as the Republicans, that are decrying the military pullout out of Turkey and Syria. Yet what is not recognized is that Russia is the main player in the Middle East. Turkey is supposed to be a U.S. ally, yet it's Turkey, and that is old Asia Minor in the Scripture. It is the place in biblical times where the Apostle Paul traveled and founded seven churches, those seven churches clearly outlined in Revelation chapter 2 and in chapter 3. But ladies and gentlemen, here's a brief article that helps set the stage on what we're seeing that will then make the transition to looking at the biblical text and finding out how and why these things are taking place. The title of the article is America's Marxist Allies in Syria. It is dated October the 15th, 2019. It is an article by newswithviews.com, online news source. It says, despite what you may have heard, America's Kurdish allies are not our friends. They're mostly Marxists. The founder of this movement was trained by the KGB. They are not worth one drop of Americans' blood. In the same way that President Barack Hussein Obama supported al-Qaeda in Libya, leading to the Benghazi massacre, he armed the PKK and the YPG, that is the Kurdish forces in Syria, who are in reality Marxist terrorists. In this media age, when the phrase Trump betrays the Kurds is easy to repeat for the purposes of impeachment, it's important to take a moment and look at the facts. Once again, we find Trump is the victim. Fake news from the deep state and its media allies. The PKK, a designated Kurdish Marxist-Leninist terrorist organization, also known as the Kurdish Workers' Party, has killed thousands of people in Turkey and has bombed and attacked the country's terrorism industry, hospitals, and businesses. Its Syrian affiliate is known as the YPG, the People's Protection Unit. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a 5 or 6 page article. It is worthy of anyone's reading. America's Marxist Allies in Syria. It is dated October the 15th, 2019. It's online at thenewswithviews.com. I highly recommend the article because it will resolve any confusion that you might have in your mind as to whether or not President Trump should have pulled the troops out. There's about a 19-mile swath across the southern border of Turkey that divides Turkey from Syria, and the top side, if you please, the northern portion of the Golan Heights going into Israel. It's a very important location. But ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand that Turkey has 50 U.S. nuclear weapons that's being held hostage today. And it's a very dangerous, dangerous operation that we see taking place. This article says Turkey holding 50 U.S. nuclear weapons hostage. Dateline New York Times. President Trump's acquiescence to Turkey's move to send troops deep inside the Syrian territory has, in only 1 week's time, turned into a bloody carnage. Forced the abandonment of a successful 5-year American project to keep the peace on a volatile border, and given an unanticipated victory for four American adversaries, Russia, Iran, the Syrian government, and the Islamic State. I wanted that brought out, ladies and gentlemen, because that's what we're dealing with. And as we have broadcast before, Ezekiel 38 and 39 includes Russia. And in Russia's leadership, five Islamic nations, including Iran, Iraq, Syria, Germany, and Libya. And ladies and gentlemen, all of them are controlled by Islam. And so it's the Islamic jihadists that is linked with, led by, and dominated by Russia that will do the leading and bring them on an onslaught against Israel and trying to eviscerate Israel. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen. Erdogan and the prime minister of Turkey just made this declaration to the entire Islamic world. We will gather together, Kurds and Arabs and all the Muslim world, and invade Jerusalem and create a one-world Islamic empire. End quote. That's the title of the article. And then the article continues. By Allah's will, Jerusalem will belong to the Kurds and the Turks and the Arabs and all Muslims. And as our forefathers fought side by side, and just as our forefathers went together to liberate Jerusalem that time, we will march together on the same path to liberate Jerusalem again. These are the words just declared by the Prime Minister of Turkey. You would think it's coming straight from the mouth of the Antichrist, this article states. Here's another article that ties it together. I want you to understand, ladies and gentlemen, what we're seeing is not just some aberrant event. What we're watching in the Middle East is not just some happenstance event. What we're watching in the Middle East is not Trump caused. What we're watching in the Middle East is part of God's plan for the future of Israel and for all of the Middle East and for the ultimate coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This article says Turkish newspaper close to President Erdogan calls to form a joint Islamic army to fight Israel. And this article was a couple of years ago. It was Dateline December the 12th, 2017. So what we see happening today is not a real news. It's simply the coming about of what they're doing, and it's based on God's timeline. Head of the summit of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, the OIC, in Istanbul, the Turkish Daily News, which is close to President Erdogan, published an article titled A Call for Urgent Action, which also appeared on the paper's website under the title, What If an Army of Islam Was Formed Against Israel? End quote. The article calls on 57 member states of the OIC to form a joint army of Islam to besiege and attack the state of Israel. It notes that such a joint army will greatly exceed the Israeli army in manpower, equipment, and budget, and presents the present statistics to prove this. It also advocates establishing joint bases for the army's ground, air, and naval forces that will arrive from all over the Muslim world to besiege Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm trying to get us to understand is that we see the amalgamation and the coming together of God's ultimate prophetic plans, as we find in the scripture, where all of the nations of the Middle East, led by the nation of Russia and including Germany, will come against the little T90 postage stamp state called Israel. And at a point in time, and I say this in advance, at a point in time, when it seems as though Israel is going to be eviscerated, totally annihilated, it's that time when Jesus Christ leaves his throne in glory and returns to destroy them with the sword of his mouth. Revelation chapter 19, verses 17 through 21 tells us. Ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us that we're watching the coming together of the events that's already prophesied in the Word of God. We need to recognize that it's not taking God by surprise. We need to recognize that it's not something that is aberrant to anything that's called doctrinal, biblical, conservative, theological thought. It is absolutely coming about just as God has says that it would. You see, Russia, leading five Islamic nations, that's Syria, Libya, Iran and Iraq, that's old Persia, Turkey, Germany, and all Islamically controlled, they will come against Israel. And I just think, and I say, as I say that, wow, it's moving fast. And every believer, listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to me today and you say you're saved, you need to be reading your Bible. You need to understand that these things are not just political events. These things are not just happenstance events. These things are not just events where the social media and the social and the fake news can come against President Trump. These things are not designed by Trump. These things are being carried out, Trump perhaps being part of the instrumentality that God's using, but it's being carried out by the directive of God himself. God's on the throne. It's not happenstance. It's not something that should take us by surprise. As we study the scripture and as we read the scripture, we come to understand that every day, even via the fake news, every day through the radio, television, newspaper, magazines, etc. We're watching God's prophetic word come to fruition on the front pages and the headlines of the news around the globe. We're watching it. It's moving fast. And as the scripture says, we must look up, lift up our heads, because our redemption draweth nigh, according to Luke chapter 21 and verse 28. Here's an article that says, does Iran signal end time prophecies? Christian apologists believe that the New Testament suggests that Iran, together with Russia, pose a major threat not only to Israel, but also to the United States as well. Furthermore, we find in Ezekiel 38, it contains a prophecy in which Persia, modern-day Iran, and Rosh, which indicates it would be Russia, have a military alliance in the last days. It is prophecy being fulfilled, this article says, rather than something that can be stopped by any further sanction or any threat of military action. It is prophecy being fulfilled. It's like we're seeing foreshocks of the powerful earthquake that is ready to take place and ready to happen. The prophetic events are like dominoes closely stacked together. When the first domino falls, the others will fall in short order. So that's the thing that I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, in setting the stage for what we're wanting to look at today, as we're going to look at an exegetical overview, a very brief scan overview. It will take literally 2 or 3 hours to cover the first 14 verses alone in Matthew 24. But in a moment, we're going to look at several of those verses and talk about them and what we're seeing in the fulfillment of the prophetic text of the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, the next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church. The sudden snatching away, the sudden seizure. Rapturus, it's the sudden snatching away of every believer in this whole world. Ladies and gentlemen, if you love Jesus Christ, if you've said yes to Him as Savior and as Lord, listen, don't you dare believe the diatribe that somehow, some way, God's already decided, because He's sovereign, He's already decided some are going to heaven and some are going to hell, called predestination. It's simply a biblical demonic lie. It is not what the Bible says at all. Jesus Christ died on the cross that whosoever will may be saved. So if you've said yes to Jesus Christ by your volitional choice, you are going to be suddenly seized, snatched out of this world, along with every Christian on the face of the globe. That's the next thing on the calendar of God, the sudden snatching away from this old world. It's after the rapture, there'll be 7 years of ruin. I call it ruin for my alliterative purposes, the rapture and the ruin, the 7 years of ruin, which the Bible refers to as the tribulation. Tribulation is the word thalipsis, and that word thalipsis simply means pressure, problems, doom, devastation, darkness, and difficulty. And that's what we see will take place during the days of the tribulation. Ladies and gentlemen, the tribulation will be where the Antichrist will be the demonic dictator that will rule the whole world. And according to Daniel chapter 11, verses 36 and following, and Revelation 13 and 14, this Antichrist will be a homosexual Islamic, and he will come close to annihilating the Jewish people during the days of the tribulation. During the days of the tribulation, it'll be seven years, 3.5 years, and 3.5 years. First 3.5 years of the tribulation, the Antichrist will be focusing on all of the known world, including the Jewish people and the non-Jewish world. And in the last 3.5 years, the focus of the Antichrist will be to destroy, to annihilate, to literally eviscerate every Jew on the face of the globe. And at that point in time, when it seems as though the Jewish people are going to be eviscerated, annihilated, Jesus Christ Himself will leave His throne in glory. He will step to the shores of time, lead His kingdom, develop His kingdom, set up His kingdom, be a thousand-year reign. It's called the millennial reign. The word millennium simply means thousand. It'll be the millennial reign, the thousand-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there will be that time of peace, plenty, prosperity, and pleasure on the face of the globe that the world's never seen. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, out of the 66 chapters of the book of Isaiah, one-fourth of those verses, at minimum of one-fourth, all deal with the millennial reign. In the millennial reign, you'll see peace that the world has never seen. During the millennial reign, you'll find, because Satan is bound, according to Revelation chapter 20, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4, Satan is bound and cast in the bottomless pit. Because he's bound, there's no sin, there's no temptation to sin. And after the thousand-year reign, ladies and gentlemen, Satan is going to be released and unleashed on a world, but Jesus Christ will still be in control. Jesus will be on the throne. He will rain down fire from heaven, according to Revelation chapter 20, verse 7, 8, and 9. And those that will follow after Satan, even after a thousand years peace and pleasantry and plenty during the course of that thousand-year millennial reign, even after they have gone through that, multitudes that have never been given the opportunity to volitionally make a choice for Jesus Christ or for Satan will follow after Satan as the sand of the sea, the scripture says. But God's going to send down fire from heaven, destroy them, and cast Satan, according to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10, into that place called hell, where it burns with fire and brimstone without any cessation at all. Ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us, when Jesus Christ wraps up his thousand-year reign, we're going to be ushered into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in that place called heaven, Revelation chapter 21. During the days in heaven, according to Revelation chapter 4 and 5, we're going to stand around the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to sing, "Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb." And we'll be casting our crowns, that's our rewards, before him and praising him for what he's done in saving us and sealing us and bringing us into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you ask the question, what does that have to do with now? What's taking place now? What are the signs of his soon coming? What are the signs of the rapture of the church? What are the signs that are indicative of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is getting ready and making the world ready for his ultimate return? Now, I'm not talking about making the world ready that they're looking in anticipation, because most of the world today are not anticipating, not looking forward to, have no earthly idea what's about to take place in this old world. It will come as a sudden shock, as a sudden surprise, just as when the door was closed on the ark and they could not get in, and the rains fell and the floods came and they could not get in. When the door is closed, when the Lord Jesus Christ snatches the church out, the door is shut, the door is closed, the Antichrist will step on the scene. And before the Antichrist steps on the scene, in these last days, ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the apostasy, the falling away, the surrendering of the faith, as some call it. And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, we're watching that take place today. Part and parcel of what we're talking about, of the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're witnessing the prophetic foreshadowing of the soon rapture of the church and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 24 tells us about that and what will take place. Matthew 24, let me just read a few verses. "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left one stone upon the other that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, and his disciples came in him privately, saying," they asked Jesus two questions: "Tell us when these things shall be, and tell us what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world." Now, those are the two questions, two pertinent questions that his disciples asked the Lord Jesus Christ. When will these things be, and what are the signs? Ladies and gentlemen, I want us to talk about those signs on this broadcast today. We're going to look at briefly an overview of verses 4 through verse 14 in Matthew's Gospel, the 24th chapter. It is the prophetic text, Matthew chapter 24 and Luke chapter 21 and Mark chapter 13 are all mirrors and give us the different facets of the diamond on what we're talking about, the eschatological text of the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, God gives us here all of the signs in this text and in Mark's Gospel, the 13th chapter, and in John, the 21st chapter, and in Luke chapter 21 also. It's the pointing to the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. According to Matthew's Gospel 24, verses 4 and 5, verses 11 and 12, and verse 24, one of the first indicators, listen, ladies and gentlemen, it is very, very serious, one of the first indicators of the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the rapture of the church, the deceitful preachers. "And Jesus said to them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Ladies and gentlemen, one of the first signs is the deceitful preachers. We're going to have a news break. Be right back in 1 minute. Don't turn your dial. Don't turn your dial. Hang in there and come back right after the news break for us to complete this broadcast today as we face the issues, thinking on the subject. Is the end near?
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.